Hello, everyone. Welcome to our latest episode in our current series of Employment Law 101. Theme for this year is the cost of living crisis and that how that intersects with the employment relationship and impacts on HR and anybody that employs people. For those of you that have not joined us before, my name is Peter. I'm a partner with Specialist Employment and Business Immigration Practice, MPM Legal. We're based in the south of England, and we work with employers all over the world that have a common interest, which is employing people here in the UK. As ever, I am delighted to be joined by my colleague, Adrienne. Good morning, Adrienne.
Morning, everybody. Thanks for joining us.
Indeed. And of course, the benefits of you joining us live for this recording is that you get to ask us as many questions as you like. Can't promise we'll answer every single one of them, but we'll do our best. If you want to ask us a question, we'll try and deal with them as we go along. Just use the Q&A tab down at the bottom of your screen. Alternatively, if you want to send a message to the rest of the group, you can use the chat function. But if you just want to ask a question that only we can see, use the Q&A and we'll shout it out and do our best to address it. This session has been recorded. You can catch up on our website if you want to look at the video later, if you want to share it, and of course, on our Spotify channel as well. I think we've got something like 35 back episodes now, all sorts of different employment law related topics. So look us up on Spotify, Employment Law 101. Adrienne, what are we talking about today?
Well, very good question. We thought we would look today at the impact of the cost of living crisis on older workers. And you know what, that in itself is quite an interesting phrase. When we were looking at all of this stuff and looking at the report, so we're talking about older workers as being people over the age of 50. Now, I fall into that bracket and I really struggle with the idea that I'm an older worker because in my head, I'm still 35. I'm sure that that's a sentiment that is probably appropriate for a lot of people, but I just thought I'd add that extra little bit of colour in there. But anyway, we're talking about the fact that we've heard an awful lot of people about people unretiring with employers luring back into the workplace. So we thought we'd have a quick look at that within the context of our season's topic.
Yeah, absolutely. I kind of feel like I'm on dangerous territory talking about age and age discrimination, but I'm definitely heading towards the older worker territory. I'm not getting any younger.
You're a youngster.
Spring chicken. Just to set the legal context here, in relation to things like retirement, you can usually work for as long as you want to work. So default retirement age, which used to be a forced retirement age of 65, doesn't exist anymore. And I know pretty much all of you will be familiar with that concept. Of course, employees can ask employers if they want to work more flexibly or part-time. And, you know, historically, I think there was a misconception that those sorts of rights only applied to people returning from maternity leave, for example. But it's fantastic now that, you know, everybody pretty much can make an application and it should be considered properly. And so if you've got somebody that's getting on towards retirement age and maybe they want to wind down from 5 days a week to 4 days a week and just do other things, they can stick that request in. You've got to look at it. There are some circumstances when you can force employees to retire at a certain age. And of course, we call that the compulsory retirement age. If you go down that route, though, you have to give a good reason why. Basically, you have to be able to justify it. Examples of how you might be able to justify it are the job requires certain physical abilities. So perhaps in the construction industry, for example, you could justify it. Or the job has an age limit that is set by law. I think some of the emergency services will have this. So the fire service, for example, will have a forced retirement age. And that's something that's set in law.
I think pilots do as well, don't they? I think so.
Okay. What's kind of been happening over the last 18 months or so?
Well, again, really interesting, but there are so many conflicting reports that it painted quite a confusing picture when I looked at it. It's pretty complex. So initially, it was thought that quite a large number of people of 50 plus had stopped work voluntarily, albeit with the anxieties about the COVID-19 pandemic contributing to their decisions. Many of those aged over 60 who describe themselves as economically inactive, I think is a phrase that we hear quite a lot in the news now. So they are those who are neither working or seeking work. They own their homes outright and thought that they could live comfortably on pensions or other savings. But research also revealed that a substantial number of those that gave up work during the pandemic or shortly after, for example, were actually quite hard up as a result, with reduced expenditure on food and lower well-being as a result. You know, for those that don't own their own houses, the interest rate impact on mortgages, whether they were remortgaging or whether that had an impact on the rents they were paying, together with rising energy bills, has undoubtedly added to the anxiety. So, you know, there is sort of the great unretirement that we're talking about. But then descriptions of returning to employment were also really variable when we looked at it. And it seemed to me to be one of those that, you know, whichever statistical outcome you wanted, you could probably justify depending on the data set that you looked at. That's what I found found to be so confusing. But descriptions of returning to employment, some did so because they were struggling with the rising cost of living, but others simply found that they missed the company of co-workers. You know, I'd be in that boat, Peter. I would miss you. They wanted to feel they were making a contribution to family finances, or frankly, they just probably were quite bored once they'd retired and needed to feel that they had a purpose in life. I know that my dad, who's 80 next month, actually retired at 78. And one of the reasons why he carried on working for so long, because he was just worried about, you know, what would be his worth, what would be his value. And, you know, he'd sort of defined himself by the job that he'd been doing for so many years. So I have to say, I was worried about him retiring as well. But so, Peter, I mean, what do we think this, what does this mean in terms of the intersection with the cost of living crisis?
Again, like super mixed bag. And I think it's just interesting that when I was doing some research into this as well, literally within the same newspaper, you could track from the start of the year a flip-flop. There'd be an article one month saying loads of people are retiring, and there'd be an article another month saying loads of people are returning to work. So, but it is clear that there are some trends, and what we're seeing is older workers postponing retirement. And there's an online community that's run by an organization called Rest Less, maybe encouraging people to, take less downtime. But Rest Less, an online community for the over the 50s, according to them, there are 446,000 people above the age of 70 still in work last year. Your dad being amongst one of them, I think, in the last couple of years, then, Adrienne. And that's a rise of 61%, because the last data they took was in 2012, and there were 277,000 people. Now, obviously, since 2012, we've had austerity. So I just wonder whether that's played an impact at all. And of course, more recently, we do have this, you know, cost of living crisis in terms of increased mortgage costs, increased energy bills, inflation, just in terms of general household goods and everything. So their report identifies that the reason for that uptake for many, according to them, is the cost of living crisis, where simply the pension isn't providing a decent standard of living. And for others, it was because workplaces were making it easier for them to stay in work, which is super encouraging to hear. I mean, it just links back to that point made at the start about how historically, I think, flexible working requests, whenever I used to look at flexible working requests, you know, say 15 years ago, it nearly always seemed to be maternity returners. And it's just not the case anymore that's what they're, you know, formed of. Yeah. So we know that after the pandemic, workers left their jobs. Now, whether that was because people thought, hey, there's more to life than working, and this pandemic's really made me focus on things, who knows? And, you know, to what extent were the health statistics skewed the data also? The flip side of that, of course, is in relation to younger workers and their entry into work, isn't it? And this whole issue about progression and whether there's a progression piece where people are blocked by older workers working longer. The thing that does come up a lot, though, is older workers having difficulty getting jobs. And in fact, I was just doing my morning browse on LinkedIn today, and I saw a post by somebody who made a specific point about somebody this gentleman knew over the age of 50, who isn't applying for a C-suite job, but it's kind of the level below C-suite, and just having a really difficult time in terms of the whole recruitment process. So, you know, that's something that I've heard before as well. We know from our own work about people being made redundant and being worried about finding other jobs as well. So even though we've got this age discrimination framework, it is a real problem, really, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I think just to jump in there, there's the issue of getting another job at the level you want it, that you've been driving for. So you might be in a senior role, you might be looking for another senior role, but there's also the issue that some people actually might want to take a step down. So, you know, they'll be applying for jobs probably where the hiring managers or the recruiters might look at them and go, well, you're way overqualified. You know, why would you want this job? And it's making a judgment call on their age and their sort of their motivation for applying for that role is also something that people are coming up against in terms of difficulties.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Chartered Management Institute, that's done its own survey at the end of October 2022. So I thought it'd be worthwhile just shouting out a few stats as a result of that survey last year. They found that most employers were more open to hiring workers in younger age groups. So almost three quarters were open to a large extent to hiring younger workers between the age of 18 and 34. 64%, so getting on for two thirds, were very open to hiring those aged between 34 and 49. But when you look at the over 65 age group, there's only 18% of managers who said they were open to a large extent to hiring people in that category. Now, that just reminds me of, is it B&Q that kind of specifically market to older workers?
I don't know if they still do, but they certainly made a big splash about it quite a number of years ago, didn't they? Mm. You know, they were drawing in people who'd retired, who'd come back in.
Yeah.
And I think there's quite a few places like that which are actively doing that. I mean, there's lots of different age-related work support groups out there which really praise a number of large employers for being active in the sort of age-related recruitment market.
Yeah,
but you know, just looking at those numbers, I do sometimes wonder what the motivation is. But one of the things that occurred to me is that it could be cost, in the perception that, you know, older workers, because they've got more experience, because they've got more skills, might be too expensive to hire. I mean, I don't think that's always the case, but I think that for some jobs, that's certainly a factor, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I've seen it in the public sector where you have historically very rigid pay scales, and
yes, that's what I was thinking of too.
But you know, progress with experience through those pay scales, and of course, the increased salary really is reflective of the experience and the value that somebody brings. But I know, you know, within certain professions within the public sector, where organisations are very strapped in terms of finances, and they're having to hire junior people in because they can't afford to pay senior people, people more senior on the pay grade, and being open about it as well, and saying, look, we can hire you, but we've got to pay you at a lower level on the grade. Yeah. If you're willing to take it. Before, I know we're going to just talk about the kind of impact on employers, but actually, I just want to take this opportunity just to launch a quick poll, actually, because I'm just quite interested to know from you that are joining us live today a couple of things. So hopefully this has popped up on your screen and you can see this. We've got a couple of questions. The first is, have any of your employees postponed retirement in the past 18 months? Yes or no? And secondly, have any of you hired anyone who is returning from retirement? Yes or no? So let me just leave that running. We'll pick up in a second. Adrian, what about the kind of day-to-day impact then? What are employers thinking about?
Yeah, so what, you know, what does it mean for employers in this situation? Well, obviously recruitment is massive. Let's take the, you know, the workforce that are currently looking for jobs. You know, this isn't really new. It really isn't new at all. But workers perceive that they are being overlooked because of their age. I can't comment whether that's real or not, because it varies so much from industry to industry and from employer to employer. And, you know, for many years, we've been talking about advising employers on the need for care in their job ads. So even things like, you know, we're looking for a dynamic and thrusting individual who can bring energy to the workforce. You know, that's been found to be potentially age discriminatory. So this is, that's kind of That's, I was going to say old news, pardon the pun, but it, that's something that's definitely still continuing. People are reporting left, right and centre that, you know, they can submit one CV with data on it that belies their age. You know, they might keep their age off it, but the minute you start talking about your educational history or even your work history dating back to certain times, then people can work out what kind of age you're at, and they're suffering discrimination as a result. So that's definitely something to be concerned about. But then it's also about changing mindsets. So, you know, is it the case that hiring managers are looking at older workers and concerned about how long they'll want to work? Are they questioning their commitment on that? I mean, that for me doesn't make any sense at all, because gone are the days where you recruit somebody and they stick with you for 10 years. You know, people, younger workers tend to bounce around from job to job, as do others. So, you know, they might have 2 or 3 years in one place and look to move on. So I don't really think that that reason holds water as well. But ultimately, a lot of this stuff adds up to age discrimination. And we all know that if you're on the receiving end of age discrimination, that's where you need us, and you end up paying us to sort it out for you. So that's really best avoided. Not great for our business, but much better for yours, obviously. But I think in terms of the mindsets, like, think about the experience that you might be missing out on. You know, think of the potential talent that you've got encapsulated in that older worker. New IT skills, new sort of like development skills can always be taught, but the years of business acumen and experience is something that only can be gathered over time, and that can be a real benefit to your organization, provided it's used properly. Performance management. You know, some employers think that older workers are slowing down, but, you know, is that true? Or is this just a case of let's look at performance management, because, you know, pace of working is something that affects everybody and is quite an individual thing. And I would just say that it just means good and appropriate management is needed with, you know, support. Is there a perception that older workers have got increased health risks, which means that absence from work is potentially greater? Again, not really convinced on that. You know, a lot of the reports, particularly from these age supportive groups, is that, you know, work keeps you healthy, keeps you going, keeps your brain active, all of that kind of stuff. And, you know, certainly from our perspective, from what lands on our desk, it's normally a situation actually that it's what I would call the mental health epidemic that is going on at the moment that is the biggest reason for absence from work. And of course that happens at any age. So
yeah, it's a lot of sorry to jump in, a lot of neurodiversity issues we're seeing, right?
Yeah, exactly. So I think there's sort of a bit of perhaps outdated perceptions on what older workers means. But I mean, I can also speak from experience. I joked at the start of this when I said, you know, I'm in the 50 plus category and still think I'm 35. I've got a lot of 60 something friends who there in no way do they think that they're older workers. And, you know, with people living longer, I think the perception of what is old has changed an awful lot. But perhaps those approaches in recruitment and job progression, that type of stuff, haven't necessarily moved with that increased age bracket. I don't know what you think on that, Peter.
Still think that. Well, yeah, I suppose I think the maybe there's a drag on the mindset where, you know, state pension ages, for example, I think are where they're at the moment, or, you know, I know they've been increased slightly in the past few years, but it harks back to maybe the formation of the welfare state when life expectancy was such that you'd get your state pension and you'd probably statistically only live for 18 months or 2 years. Yeah. And, you know, now if you retired at 60 years of age, for example, there's probably quite a good chance statistically that you might live for 30 years. So, you know, getting on for as long as you've worked.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Now, that of itself presents an issue, right, in terms of funding retirement. And there's this whole other issue about are people setting aside enough money to be able to pay for retirement? And maybe the answer is perhaps not. And that's also driving people returning to work or having to stay in work longer because of all these other pulls on finances which now need to be paid for. Interestingly though, let me just mention the outcome of the polls. Only 13% of you have said that you've got employees who have postponed retirement, and interestingly for me, only 6% of you have hired somebody who's returning from retirement as well. Obviously, it's not an especially scientific poll, but the you know, the suggestion there from amongst your attendees is certainly not really seeing people postpone retirement and also not really hiring back people who have retired either. Yeah, I'd be really interested to look at the data in terms of sector experience, though, because, you know, some of the articles I was reading yesterday were talking about the retail sector. So there was an article about the Co-op group in Lincolnshire and how they were, you know, they'd hired someone who was 78 years old, I think, who was absolutely loving life, working on the shop floor a few hours a week. I think he commented on all the cheeky comments all of his colleagues were making, which made me wince a little bit. I kind of thought, is this, have they got their employment lawyer on speed dial? But yeah, we'll see. Shall we just talk a little bit about flipping that around and what the impact is on younger people? Because I think some younger people believe that they are being blocked from entry into the workplace or that their progression is being blocked a little bit. And there was a really interesting study on this from 2021. It was a US study, but it was a US study that looked at some Italian data. So the highlights of this study, and I'll put a link to it on LinkedIn probably later. So if you follow me on LinkedIn, you'll see that post. There was a one-year increase in the average retirement age of workers who are close to retirement reduces the wage growth of younger co-workers by 2.5% a year. So they found a definite correlation. Now, this study, it looked at a 2011 Italian pension reform. So it was US researchers looking at Italian data set. Now, this 2011 Italian pension reform, it's called the Fornero reform, that came in unexpectedly. So it wasn't like a long announcement that people had time to prepare for. It was an unexpected introduction, and it tightened the eligibility criteria for public pensions. So that led to a sudden and widespread retirement delay by many retirement age workers, because obviously they were expecting to all of a sudden receive less pay. Now, when the retirement delay affects a worker in a higher level position, it also reduces the number of categorical promotions. And that's defined as workers who move from blue collar to white collar jobs, or from blue or white collar jobs into managerial jobs. So think of it as kind of like moving through to the next banding, if you like. Mm. And what the survey found was a study found a 1 year increase in the retirement age of a white collar worker reduces the promotion rate to white collar jobs by 21%. So it's like having this cascading effect. However, they also found that a delay in a blue-collar worker's retirement doesn't affect the number of promotions into white-collar positions. And similarly, only retirement delays among managers affects the number of promotions into managerial jobs. But, I mean, this stood out. A one-year retirement delay amongst managers reduces the number of younger workers promoted to a manager by nearly 50%. Like half the number off the back of a 1 year retirement delay amongst the manager. So I guess
bed blocking in the NHS.
Yeah, exactly. Or you know, what would you call it? Desk blocking. And it's you know, it's something that should play into your kind of forward planning and strategy, really, in terms of what's the breakdown of your workforce, who have we got approaching retirement age. There's this whole piece around how you raise issues around that and what's appropriate to say and what isn't, what's the best forum for it. But clearly, the point is, it's important to think about these things strategically, because there does appear to be an effect cascading down when people are sticking around in roles when you maybe, you know, weren't expecting them to.
Well, it kind of makes sense, doesn't it? Because if you think about younger workers, they're going to want career progression. So they're going to want to push up, but they can only push up, you know, in most organisations when a job becomes available. And if nobody's moving on, then that younger talent doesn't have any option, because they can't go upward internally. They have to look elsewhere. So there is, I mean, it's really, really difficult. But, you know, at the same time, what I suppose what we're saying is don't overlook the talent of the older workers that you've already got in place. But it's a really difficult position to be able to navigate. You know, that's before we even start talking about the, you know, the moral aspects of sitting down with somebody and going, hey, when are you going to retire to allow these younger workers to come through? Because we want to keep the talent that we've invested in. I mean, that type of conversation is never going to go down well. So I'd be interested to see whether anybody has faced that, or whether it's just something that just naturally happens and you accept that people are going to have to look elsewhere outside of your organization in order to progress. But I mean, look, I think one of the things to think about is, you know, when we're looking at that balance, you've got to think about the fact that the experience of the older workers could be brilliantly harnessed to mentor and train younger staff. You know, it may be, and it's not always going to be the case, and I don't know how you have the conversation, but it could be that a change of role would be acceptable with more of a mentoring focus to ensure that you're harnessing that experience that you've got internally. And, you know, if you're talking about somebody who says, I want to work flexibly, that could easily be the trigger to say, look, we've got a fantastic idea. This is what we'd like to do. We want to draw on your experience. But I think it's incredibly difficult. I just wanted to throw one thing in here, which I think is also a bit relevant. It's probably a little bit more mundane, but just one little word of warning. When it comes to benefits for workers, just have an eye on your insurance-backed benefits, because a lot of them will only cover workers up to the age of 65. So that's definitely something that if somebody is looking to work past that age, is to make sure that you flag that to them and that it's something that you are aware of.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, so just in terms of some of the takeaways then from this, obviously be mindful of age discrimination in recruitment. There's this whole debate at the moment about the use of AI within recruitment and to what extent AI models have inbuilt biases, because they're all based on learned behavior, and if it's garbage in, it's garbage out. So if there's definitely scope for discriminatory practices to be baked in to AI recruiting decisions. So that's something that we're going to be talking more about into the future for sure. And I've seen some really interesting worked examples of how that can actually play out, which we can pick up on another time. Delaying retirement seems to have a clear effect on both promotion aspects and salaries of younger employees, as that study demonstrates. So that comes into your strategic planning for sure. So just be working through what is the knock-on effect going to be in terms of people sticking around longer than expected, and how we're going to look after people more junior perhaps and show them that progression and pathway. Balancing that against a definite skill shortage in the UK. I mean, we've still got a skill shortage in many sectors, actually. So what are you going to do in terms of tempting older workers back into the workforce if there are skills that you can capitalise on? Well, you know, some companies, for example, have a policy of advertising every single role as being suitable for part-time or job share. So that's called out, you know, front and centre in the advert as a means of specifically attracting perhaps older workers, perhaps people who've taken some form of parental leave, and they just simply don't want to or have the means of being able to work full time. So they are all things to be thinking about. Anything else you wanted to add, Adrienne, before we wrap up today?
No, I was just going to thank one of our attendees for their comment, the point that I just made on benefits. Thanks very much for highlighting this. But they've said that they have managed to extend some life cover policies to age 75. So absolutely, you know, that's the type of thing to look into. Just what I would say is, don't get caught out when somebody thinks they've got a policy, or worse still, their family thinks that they've got a policy. God forbid anything should happen, and it turns out that cover ended. It's just something to have your eyes on. But yes, thank you for highlighting that it's possible to get extensions.
Yeah, brilliant. Yeah, it's a good point. Yeah, thanks for the comment, Elizabeth. That's it from us today. What I'll say is, please, please do check out our recordings on Spotify. We've got a whole bunch of back issues for you to have a listen to your heart's content. If you are going to go on Spotify, there is an option of rating our recording. So if you'd be so kind as to do that, that really, really kind of helps boost our visibility. So thanks in advance if you're able to do it. We're back in 2 weeks' time with our cost of living crisis. I may actually hijack that session because there's a bunch of legislative changes picture coming in January, which is a little bit sooner than a lot of us were expecting. So we may actually do a wash-up session on some of the changes to the Equality Act and the changes that have been announced in relation to EU law and holiday pay. I know that doesn't sound particularly glamorous, but it's really important stuff for us all to get our heads around. So look out for an invite to the session, whatever the topic is. If you don't follow us on LinkedIn already, please do. You'll get the updates from us. But otherwise, enjoy the rest of your week, and we hope to see you in a couple of weeks. Bye for now.
Thanks very much. Bye.